Hi friends, let's start with chapter 9, International Distribution System. If I were to give you an idea, we are covering 4 P's, that is marketing mix in the international marketing. We finish product, we enter place. Place and distribution is kind of a synonyms. So just to give you an idea as to, like in the local market, even in the international marketing, the right good has to reach the customer in the right time. Now therefore, marketing and distribution of the goods in the international marketing, distribution of goods plays a very vital role as multiple supply chain management perspective comes into it. Now, therefore, that multiple supply chain like rail, road, port, maybe combination of that, so that distribution of goods gets impacted where your goods are needed to move for final consumption, urban areas, village or both. In the foreign countries, even the places are very far off, okay, miles and miles you can go. So these are the few aspects that is vital to this place or the distribution of goods in the international marketing. Globalization has opened new market, it increases the competition and encourage business to explore. However, new distribution models are also getting available. So it's a chase on one end, wherein expand in the international market. On the other end, though the challenges of supply chain notwithstanding, the newer distribution framework which is emerging, that gives the hope also. Technology has revolutionized the way logistics can be coordinated. Besides that, the e-commerce has a full-fledged platform that has emerged, supported by blockchain, AI-driven forecasting, smart warehousing, and all those conceptualized new solution gives a thrust to the distribution in the international marketing. Shift is already there towards omni-channel distribution. Customer may want to avail any of the touch points with the brand. Idea is like whether you have an omni-channel distribution in place. So where physical store, online marketplace, social media coexist, and they reshape not only the product trial, product consumption, product delivery, etc. So you check it, how the frame will look like, good on your face, on the app, etc. But you can go to the shop and try it out also, and then come back and even order online. So these are a few aspects of omni-channel marketing or distribution. Additionally, sustainable concern, sustainability, which is longevity, have prompted business to adopt to what you call green distribution or a green logistics, where ethical sourcing practices influences the modern distribution strategy. So with this as a backgrounder, we enter into international channels and distribution system related learning. Okay. Currently, growth opportunities are available in the emerging market away from the local market. B2B sector is equally witnessing the shift. So we will now study the international channel and the entire distribution system thereof. Pictorially, what I am trying to tell you that there are direct channels and there are indirect channels. And in the indirect channels, there are sub-layers, agents, wholesaler, retailer, etc. So we will try to understand this particular aspect as we move forward. So there is always a challenge between direct and indirect distribution in the international marketing that a new company has to decide. Direct distribution offers companies a control over pricing, branding, entire experience delivery to the consumer. Digital advertisements have enabled companies to engage also direct to customer, D2C platform, through the online channels, online platform that is available to you. So that's also one of the aspect of direct distribution. In geographically very diverse market, indirect distribution remains essential for leveraging local expertise, regulatory compliances and logistical efficiency. So you do not have to get into it. You are doing business in that country indirectly. I gave you that earlier example. Somebody may be buying your product in India itself and then supplying it to the foreign counterpart. You don't have to then get into any legality or regularity compliances, etc. He fulfills those things. So that's a direct versus indirect. if market is very diverse, you want to capture as many market, then probably you can resort to indirect distribution. Now, in that indirect distribution also, then I showed you that earlier picture that there is a chain. Sorry, I am doing this page later on after some time. So, like in the earlier slide, I have mentioned to you that in the indirect distribution, there are certain other options. So, these are the options which has been brought out for you. In the indirect distribution, also you have a direct selling with the customer. So, you kind of directly sell it to the consumer. You either sell through the retailer, so that is you as a producer, and then there is a retailer who comes in between. You have your distribution set, and then retailer supplies to the consumer. The other approach is selling through wholesaler, so that is you as a producer, then you have a wholesaler who acquires the goods from you. Wholesaler might have other set of, say, citywide distributor, etc., and finally they reach out the goods to the retailer, and retailer in end provides you to the end consumer. So these are several other options that is available in the international distribution. Same is the case with the national distribution. Now, company needs to really assess factors such as who's the target audience, where he resides, the infrastructure available for you to distribute goods, okay, cost effectiveness when choosing between direct and indirect model. So that aspects business decisions, you know, like whether you need a control on the experience of the customer, or you are control experience of the customer doesn't much matter in the kind of a product that you deal in. So many times company get on to certain hybrid approach as well, where in certain countries, certain markets they do direct, other market they may do indirect, okay. Even within the country, you may do direct in, say, major metros, you may do indirect in a tier one or the rural side of the country. So that is also possible. So now let's understand different channels that we saw one by one. Producer to consumer, it's a direct route, okay, where the goods is directly reaching to the consumer. So it's a direct distribution. Goods can be sold cheaper as there is no intermediary available or present, and therefore that margin that you save, benefit can be passed on. So Tupperware and many direct marketing companies which they do, they are practicing that model. Okay, so Tupperware is a good classic example. Their backend system ensures availability of supplies to their network. So they have a smart, they have a warehouses, okay. And you as an agent or you as a direct marketeer, when you get an order, there is a transaction that you do it with the warehouse, then the goods are dispatched to the final consumer. Second is the producer, retailer, and then consumer. Here, goods are reached out to the retailer by the producer, and then that retailer sells it to the consumer in the required number, etc. That's also one thing. The producer need not now worry about, okay, producer need not be concerned about the way the retailer identifies the consumer and services them. So it is the retailer who has to do maybe local marketing, etc., to attract customer to his shop. Of course, disadvantages are cost of goods increases as retailer comes into picture. Therefore, the margin to be paid to him has to be accounted for in your MRP. Retailer may charge more depending on the market condition. If there is a lack of supply and demand is more, retailer can extract more price. Though government has tried, you know, kind of in India at least, MRP as a rule that has been brought in so that nobody can sell more than the MRP, irrespective of the market condition. But I have seen myself in my days and black marketing happening based on the demand supply gap. Retailers need to be identified and goods supplied regularly. So here, entire processing of identifying retailer, registering it, payment processing and all has to be in the backend worked out. So retailer and your transaction is smoother. this channel is still economical, as the wholesalers are not in picture. So you only have one level for which you have to give them the margin. Next is the producer, wholesaler, retailer, and then consumer. Even wholesaler, you have to take into account, there may be multiple, city level distributor, zonal distributor, that also is possible. So goods pass through, okay, multiple level. This is good for nature of goods which is not of a daily consumption, so that this chain is okay. Retailer's size of business may not be economical for him to buy and store goods in bulk. Also, the product which retailer cannot really store, he requires regular supply. So he will prefer to buy only when needed. So even in that case, you have to have the perspective of wholesaler in picture. The frequency of retailer purchase depends also on lifting of stock by the consumer, that is the final consumer, how frequently they are buying and how much time in which the stock that he is keeping gets consumed. Accordingly, retailer will have his purchase cycle. So that also determines the need or no need for wholesaler. Appropriate if retailer do not want to invest in stocking goods in bulk. So if retailers are unable to stock the goods in bulk, or in such cases they might have to have their own warehouse, so then that makes a challenging proposition for retailers. So considering all those things, then in such case wholesale led distribution channel is appropriate. So role of digital platform in modern distribution that we try to understand now. E-commerce has created a altogether a different platform called e-platform, and that's Amazon, Alibaba, Flipkart. They have revolutionized the way international distribution can take place directly from the manufacturer to consumer. Nowadays, I see so many brands vying attention. In fact, one of the report I read, many D2C brands in FMCG space has grown much faster than traditionally well-known FMCG brands. Okay, so you see that this is because this platform made available social commerce, that is why Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, business to business platform like Alibaba, IndiaMart in India enhances the reach of your goods. Okay, on one hand it is easy for the seeker, the search, the requirer of the raw material to search you, they can connect directly with you, and then you can do the commercial transaction. Therefore, the technology driven supply chain even nowadays gets facilities or support from AI, blockchain, real time tracking to improve the efficiency and customer satisfaction. Today you book any transaction on any online platform, immediately the order confirmation and later the tracking link comes, so you can track where your goods is. Not only that, you are intimated that we are out on delivery today, supply, not supply. If you think you are not going to receive it, you cancel it, so they recheck. Otherwise, if you are available, the good is delivered, you are intimated also about delivery. So companies are now able to integrate online marketplace with the traditional channels also, okay, and thereby between them they create a seamless omni-channel distribution strategies. So that has become possible today. So factors influencing selection of distribution channel. How do you decide what is appropriate for you? Selecting an appropriate distribution channel is a crucial decision for any company who wants to expand into international market. So you start with understanding the market characteristics and consumer preferences. Okay, so size of the population, geographic spread, level of income, disposable income, buying behavior, distribution infrastructure, all that thing matter. In developed economy with high internet penetrations, company prefer D2C, direct to consumer channel through e-commerce. Okay, however, in emerging market with fragmented retail structure, firms may rely more on wholesaler led local distribution. Consumer habit also play a very important role. For example, in India, our country, many consumers prefer to buy beverages from the small roadside kiosk, prompting Coca-Cola to establish a very dense distribution network, intense distribution network, as you say, something similar to Cadbury's and all that thing. Okay, because for drinking soft drink, customer do not want to go little more very far off or far off, so to say. They want something within their vicinity. Then only that thirst quenching thing materializes into consumer buying a soft drink. So that's why. Size, perishability, complexity, and price also affect distribution channel. Large size goods, then maybe the wholesaler, this thing led route is better. Perishable goods like dairy product require faster, shorter distribution network. Okay. Luxury goods like Rolex watches often rely on their own exclusive dealerships for the brand positioning and customer experience, which is very vital for them. So this aspect is also very important. Product characteristics and logistics requirement. Heavy industrial equipment like Caterpillar machinery is typically sold via direct sale or established dealer who provide after-sales support. So dealer here only plays a role of order finalizer. The goods go from directly manufacturing, hub, or manufacturers go down to the customer, and then dealer acts as a after-sales service provider. Logistics infrastructure, including warehousing, transportation capabilities, role, raid infrastructure, all matter in selecting your distribution system. Companies dealing in high-tech solutions like or electronics like Apple use a mix of direct flagship store, authorized reseller to ensure product quality and premium service. So they are having a mixed approach. Many companies, for that matter, in FM consumer durable goods have that. So this is like few things that we are trying to understand as a factors influencing the selection of a distribution, channel. Next is the what are companies on goal, cost factors and competitive strategy. Companies must align their distribution strategy vis-a-vis their overall business objective. If the business objective is penetration, maybe they require an intensive distribution. So maybe they have to get into more of a wholesaler, retailer, this thing. So the channel has a stock and they can reach out to the customer fast, retailer. If a firm aims for mass product penetration, it may choose intensive distribution. That is what I precisely just told you. Vis-a-vis supermarket or e-commerce where a weight is not a problem, so that you get into that. On the other hand, a premium positioning strategy might favor selective distribution or exclusive distribution. If you want to tarnish gold or such Tag Heuer watches, etc., which I gave you the example. So these are the additional factors. Cost consideration, including channel margin, shipping expenses, and tariffs also influence your decision. More longer you have, the money goes towards transportation, sub-transportation, margins, etc. Okay. Competitive strategy matter too. Like Amazon, for instance, has built its own logistics network. Amazon Logistics, to reduce dependency on the third-party delivery service. So there also, thereby they save it, okay, giving it a competitive edge in the delivery and the efficiency. So that increases the customer satisfaction. So now we get into channel selection, so to say, okay. So very wide variety of channel that you have understood that one has to choose from. Several partners are available for each channel. So you, depending on the kind of a road you take, various options or the channel partners can be selected. Selection of the right channel partner takes care of most of your worries. So after right channel and then the partner within, it's like in a half battle won. So how do you go about? Profile of the channel partner is very important. So profiling their interest in the business, their past experiences, etc., must be done. Sound and unbiased system should be there. It is not relying on your regional guy, okay, where there is a possibility of opinion being colored. So here you require an unbiased system. So these are the selection steps. Profiling channel partner, unbiased screening is needed. Locating the prospective partner. So several ways are available. evaluating the prospects. So objective assessment is needed and selection of the intermediary. Finally, we will get into understanding them one by one. Profiling the channel partner, what does it mean? So you have to source lot required data for profiling. So you must ask, therefore there is generally an application form where you ask the individual, his team, his sales setup, his organizational setup, warehouse availability, how is he going to ensure marketing, various things. So various quanti quali information is generally obtained. Some of the criteria is very easy for you to measure. So if he has claimed that he has a warehouse, one can go and see it. The manpower quality can be higher, you know, gauged by talking to some of them when you visit, either upfront or in an indirect manner. Okay. And some may require a calculation, etc. Or some may require you to seek additional data like financial statement, report, etc. Some of the information may require from a third source, like credit worthiness from the bank you have to obtain. From the party, you ask them about the banking that they do with which banks. But then you have to approach those banks to know this party's credit worthiness. Okay. So that's how you get into first step. Second is locating intermediary. So how do you locate them? So there are several ways one can locate your channel partner. You can either contact the export council body. So there, you know, they know how in that country the distribution is, whom to approach, etc. So they facilitate your this. International trade fairs and all you can visit and then connect with the right party there. Government organizations provide support, those who wants to enhance their business potential or counter trade, etc. So government organizations also offer that. Opinion makers, influencers, you try to reach out to them and seek their opinion and identify through them or put an advertisement looking for distributor, channel partner, blah, blah. So that's a locating the intermediary. Third is the evaluating parameters. How do you evaluate? Once you have identified and profile them, you have to understand their background, commitment to the role, their past performances, references, testimonials, etc. You can reach out to the other brands whose business they are involved in and get the feedback from them also, etc. If you are not a competing brand. Okay. So this is, and various, you can have inspection, you can have conversation, you can have a presentation of the marketing plan. Likewise, you can create certain things which will enable you to gauge the prospects properly. Selection of an intermediary. So last but not the least, profiling, background check, and several other rounds of meetings. It is essential that you now shortlist and identify. As I said earlier, you have to have the unbiased overview. Okay, so you must do that. You must develop your selection criteria right in the beginning, and around that, your entire profiling, data gathering, data evaluation, all should happen consistently in such a way that finally when you sit to evaluate them, rank them, etc., you are able to do that. Now, evaluation approach might differ from firm to firm. So as I told you, each one can adopt. Unbiasedness is very critical. Too much reliance on the local body or a local person of your business is also a little tricky and harmful. Ultimately, what is checked is the zeal to do the business and partners connect with the market. So that's how it will help you to select the final channel member. As per the Harvard Business Review, select the distributor, don't let them select you. They've given certain principles, so I'm just touching quickly on that. He says that you should be able to select rather than them selecting you. So they should not overpower your selection process. Look for a distributor capable of market development. Today, every market, every product has become so competitive that you require that local market development skill, which only the local distributor can give. If he starts asking you, lead nahi aa rahi hai, you are not providing me with the business development opportunity, then you have it. treat the local distributor as long as the long term partner, and you should not consider them ka kiya to kiya, means if he does it fine, otherwise I'll change. No, that's not a right approach. He is your long term partner, so work with him. Okay, entire go to market, market expansion, development approach, etc. Support market entry by committing money, managers, and proven marketing ideas. He should be supported initially. That is what is demanded. Control over his marketing strategy. You should have an eye on it, an opinion about it. Obtain detailed market and financial performance data. Okay, you should have those data coming in so that you can at any given point of time gauge how is it doing it market-wise and finance-wise. Build links with national distributors. Your bonding, your linkages, your opinion should matter among national distributors, because they can make or break your supply. So approaches are the routes for exporting goods. How do you export goods? So this is what now we will talk about exports. You have a choice of a direct exports and indirect exports. We have discussed this also before. Direct exports means goods are sold directly by you as a manufacturer across international market through such strategy. We have earlier discussed it could be agent, it could be licensing, it could be various ways. So this is a direct distribution. They can export worldwide subject to local legislations, compliances, etc. A lot of paperwork and related customs formalities, etc. you need to handle yourself, but it gives you a control over your business development. So that's a direct export. So direct export also entails delivery at docks or at the doorstep, or handle warranty aspects. As against this, in the indirect exports, the manufacturer of the goods seeks the assistance of a middleman or intermediary in his own market to sell his goods in the international market. So here he limits his scope is to just limited to handover of the goods. Once product is done to the intermediary, he does not take ownership of the goods. Ownership is also transferred. He may or may not be marketing the goods. He may not, depending on the contract that he has with intermediary, may not have to be responsible for marketing of the goods. Okay, so these are those aspects of, he probably need not give the warranty support, etc. So every aspect has his own pros and cons. Having understood direct and indirect export, we get into understanding a very powerful platform called e-commerce, and then link it with the omni-channel distribution strategy, which has been practiced by many companies today. Omni-channel distribution means combining physical store on one end, e-commerce on the other end, mobile app is a third tool, and some third-party platform, and create a very unified shopping experience. Customers today expect seamless transition between channels such as ordering online and picking up in store. Okay, buy online, pick up in store. So BOPs, as they say. For example, Lenskart is one example one can take, or return online purchase at a physical store. So you have purchased some goods that you want to return, you need not go there outlet, return it online. So their logistics arm will collect from you. Example of Zara in India is given to you, where they allow this kind of operation. Okay. Technology plays a very vital role in such kind of a setup. Okay, where online integration, back-end integration with all these third-party and online platforms, vis-a-vis customer data. So therefore, technology has to play a very vital role. Artificial intelligence, big data analytics, blockchain, etc. help the company to keep track of customer, their changing preferences, how can they optimize their inventory and overall enhance their supply chain efficiency. Right good is dispatched to the right order to the right customer. So that aspect is a technology marvel that today's technology offers you. To give you an idea, Amazon's predictive analytics suggests product based on browsing history. So based on what you browse, whenever you log in next time, you are being told that what are the products available to you. Brand like Sephora use augmented reality. So they give you the virtual trial of the product. Okay, or blended digital and in-store experiences are brought for you through mobile or through other means. So companies now focus on personalized recommendations. So that's become very vital, or real-time inventory updates. Okay. So companies, therefore, using this technology now focus on personalization of a recommendation. So when you log in next time, based on your past history, they tell you what you should consider. Real-time inventory updates. So you get to know that how much stock is available, etc. AI-powered chatbots that improves the engagement of the customer and thereby helps you in retention of the customer.